What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, before we get into things, I did want to let y'all know that next week there will not be any shows. Not next Monday and not next Friday, because my ass will be in Hawaii, just being a beach bum for the entire week. So, yeah, I'll be in Maui having a good ass time. Like I said, being a beach bum all fucking week. So I will be back doing shows on Monday, March 16th. And the great thing about that is March Madness will be getting started. So we'll be talking brackets, and baseball season will be right around the corner. So I'll be talking about my baseball predictions. And then, of course, we'll be in the heart of the basketball season with the NBA playoffs right around the corner as soon as I get back. So that's just letting y'all know, no shows next week. All right, so let's get into the week of the NBA and what went on this week. Let's get started on Monday night. The Houston Rockets took down the Washington Wizards 123-118. Kevin Durant had 30 points. Shane Goon had 32 points, 13 rebounds. And Amen Thompson also had a double-double. He had 22 points and 12 rebounds. And this Houston Rockets team, they are just dominating in the boards. They are dominating on the offensive side of the ball. And they are just playing some excellent basketball right here down the stretch, and got a big win over the Washington Wizards. Then also on Monday night, the Boston Celtics took down the Milwaukee Bucks 108-81, and this was actually Giannis's return, but unfortunately it was obviously not a good game. It was a good game for him. He had a double-double, 19 points, 11 rebounds, but for the Boston Celtics, there was actually no Jaylen Brown in this one, so that's kind of pathetic for the Bucks to be losing this bad to that Boston Celtics team with no Jaylen Brown. And Pritchard actually dropped 25 points in this big win by the Boston Celtics, welcoming Giannis back to the season. Then on Tuesday, the Cleveland Cavaliers got a big win over the Detroit Pistons, 113-109, and they didn't even have Donovan Mitchell playing. James Harden had 18 points and 7 assists, and it was back and forth for the most part, but it was really a heavily Cleveland-dominated game. Detroit's actually kind of slumping this week. Not a heavy slump, but they've had a couple of losses this week, and that was a big one. Then also on Tuesday, the San Antonio Spurs demolished the Philadelphia 76ers 131-91. Dylan Harper had a huge game, 22 points. Vassell had 22 points, and Castle had 15 points and 10 assists in another just absolutely dominating win by the San Antonio Spurs, just playing suffocating basketball right now. Then the Oklahoma City Thunder took down the Chicago Bulls 116-108. They actually let SGA rest that night, so he didn't play. But Chet Holmgren, he continues his dominating season. I mean, not a lot of people are talking about how well Chet Holmgren has developed throughout this entire season. I mean, he is just dominating. He had 12 points, 11 rebounds. Then Wiggins also had 18 points and 7 rebounds. But, I mean, we're going to talk about another game coming up here with the Oklahoma City Thunder in which Chet dominated in. And he's just been having a spectacular year. And, you know, I love what Victor Wembanyama is doing at the center position. But y'all need to be watching what Chet Holmgren's doing over in Oklahoma City, because guess what? Chet Holmgren actually has a ring. Wemby does not. So that actually puts Chet above Wemby right now. But, I mean, on a playing level, Chet is playing excellent basketball. Then also on Tuesday night, the New York Knicks got a win over the Toronto Raptors 111-95. And they actually ended up going on a 16-2 run towards in the second half of the game. And Brunson, he had a huge game, 26 points, 10 assists. Karl Anthony Towns also had a huge game, 21 points, 12 rebounds, and 6 assists. So just barely missed out on a triple-double there. And big win, and the Knicks keep it moving just like they did, like they need to, over a solid Toronto Raptors team. Then on Wednesday, I did mention Chet Holmgren. Well, guess what? The Oklahoma City Thunder took down the New York Knicks 103-100 in a close game. SGA had 26 points, 8 assists, and Chet Holmgren, like I told you, dude is playing in beast mode right now. He actually had 28 points and 8 rebounds and just a monster game for him. And I'm just telling you, look out for Chet. This dude already knows how to win in the postseason. So I just kind of feel like when the postseason rolls around, Chet Holmgren might be the guy that you look at and go, I don't want to fuck around with that dude right now. He might be what puts this Oklahoma City Thunder team over the edge. You usually think it's SGA because he's the MVP player, but I really like what Chet Holmgren's been doing all season long. Then also on Wednesday night, the Charlotte Hornets got a win over the Boston Celtics, 118-89. And this is the Hornets' sixth win in a row. They have been on a tear. Right before the All-Star break, they went on a tear, and they really have not given up. And it's really been all about LaMelo Ball and Con Knipple. These two guys are just lighting it up. LaMelo had 18 points and 7 rebounds in this one, and Con Knipple had 20 points in this one. And these two are just an unstoppable force right now, and I didn't know if I could take them seriously for the second half of the season here, but there's potential that this Charlotte Hornets team could actually sneak into the playoffs and maybe fuck up somebody's day. Now, I'm not expecting them to make some type of championship run, but I'm just saying, wild card round, or, you know, the first round of the playoffs roll around here, and maybe the Hornets take somebody out that you're really not expecting them to take out, but this duo of LaMelo and Con, they are looking really damn good right now. Then last night, the San Antonio Spurs dominated the Detroit Pistons 121-106. Victor Wembanyama had one of his most dominating games last night, 38 points, 16 rebounds, and 5 blocks. De'Aaron Fox also added in another 29 points. And this was just, like I said, this San Antonio Spurs team is playing suffocating basketball. They can score from anywhere on the court. They are great at the three-pointer. They are great in the paint. They are great on the jump shots. They are great at shooting with all of their players. They're great on the defensive side of the ball. They just, like I said, they dominate the paint. And they don't need Victor Wembanyama to dominate every game. He just needs to show up. If he just has like 12 points, 11 rebounds, they could completely dominate this basketball. They could just dominate. That's just what they do. And what's crazy about this team is they are the only team so far to have beat the Oklahoma City Thunder a couple of times. I think they've beat the Thunder, what, 4 or 5 times this season already. And now they've beat the Detroit Pistons for the second time. They are the only team so far to beat the top two teams in both the Eastern and Western Conference this year more than two times. So they just are playing great basketball right now, and it's looking like the San Antonio Spurs are legit. Then last night, the Golden State Warriors took the Houston Rockets all the way to overtime and got the win 115-113. Podziemski, there was no Steph Curry, by the way, in this one. It's looking like Steph is probably going to come back next week. It looks like he's going to be out another week. But Podziemski has filled right in for him. He had 26 points and 9 rebounds. But a dude that a lot of people are not talking about, but I just marvel that this dude is not only still in the league, but playing at a high level, and that is Al Horford. Al Horford is like 965 years old in basketball years, and he's been around the block for a minute, but the great thing about him is he is so consistently good. And in this game, he had 17 points, 6 rebounds, and 5 assists, and it's just crazy to watch Al Horford still play at a high level at his age and just still look this good. And so, you know, shout out to Al Horford to still be playing and still be playing good, solid basketball at his age. Then not much to really talk about in this game from last night. There's only one reason why I'm bringing it up, but the Denver Nuggets completely demolished my Los Angeles Lakers 120-113. But really, the only thing to mention in this game is LeBron James became the all-time career leader in field goals, passing Kareem Abdul-Jabbar with 15,838 career field goals. And so, you know, just LeBron just keeps adding to his stellar resume. And that's just another accomplishment, because that was really the only good thing about the Lakers game last night. Other than that, they got trounced. Jokic had a huge game last night, 28 points, 13 assists, and 12 rebounds. Yes, King Triple-Double continues to be King Triple-Double. And Murray also added in 28 points as well, and it was just completely dominated by the Denver Nuggets from start to finish. Then the last bit of NBA news is it is official. The Boston Celtics are getting Jason Tatum back tonight from an Achilles injury that he suffered in last year's playoffs. So congratulations to Jason Tatum. You know, I hate the Boston Celtics, but I am a big Jason Tatum fan. Just overall, I think he's an excellent player. He's a fun player to watch. And you always like to see, or at least I like to see, dudes who are good at the game, who come back from these debilitating injuries. You know, I'm not expecting him to come right out the gate and have like 35, 10. No, I expect them to ease him in, as they should ease him in. But this is a perfect time for him to come back, because now we only have about a month left of basketball until we hit the playoffs. And so this is a good time to ease Tatum in, get a nice month of basketball in for him. I know that he's not going to be playing full games just yet. He's not going to be playing back-to-backs either, but they're going to ease him in. And then once the playoffs roll around, maybe he's going to make a big difference. But even if he doesn't, congratulations to the Boston Celtics and Jason Tatum, because he is coming back tonight. And, good for the Celtics. They kept right in it, and here they still are. I mean, they're the number two seed right now in the Eastern Conference, and so they get Jason Tatum back. This is a perfect timing for them to get Jason Tatum back. And speaking of the playoffs, since we are only a month out from the playoffs, and now I'm just going to start doing recaps on where the playoff picture is every Friday now until the playoffs begin. So let's take a look at what teams would potentially be in the playoffs right now if the playoffs were to begin today. So let's take a look at the Western Conference. Right now, the number one overall seed, of course, would be the Oklahoma City Thunder with a 49-15 regular season record. Number two overall seed would be the San Antonio Spurs, 45-17 record. Number three overall seed right now would be the Minnesota Timberwolves with a 40-23 record. And right now, the Timberwolves are on fire. But I keep saying this is one of the most streaky teams. They're always up, they're always down, so we'll see what happens with the Timberwolves. But right now, they'd be the number three seed. The number four overall seed in the Western Conference right now would be the Houston Rockets with a 38-23 record. Number five overall seed would be the Denver Nuggets with a 39-24 record. And then the number six overall seed would be the Los Angeles Lakers with a 37-25 record. And then in the play-in tournament right now in the Western Conference, number seven seed would be the Phoenix Suns with a 35-27 regular season record. Number eight seed would be the Golden State Warriors at 32-30. Then the number nine overall seed would be the Los Angeles Clippers at 30-31. And then sneaking in the last number 10 spot would be the Portland Trail Blazers with a 30-33 record. Then in the Eastern Conference right now, the standings look with the number one overall seed would be the Detroit Pistons with a 45-16 record. Number two overall seed would be the Boston Celtics, 41-21 record. Number three overall seed, New York Knicks, 40-23 record. Number four overall seed, Cleveland Cavaliers, 39-24 record. Number five overall seed, Toronto Raptors, 35-27 record. Number six overall seed, Philadelphia 76ers at 34-28. And then the play-in side of the Eastern Conference, number seven overall seed would be the Orlando Magic at 33-28. Number eight overall seed would be the Miami Heat at 34-29. Number nine overall seed would be the Charlotte Hornets at 32-31. And the number 10 seed in the play-in tournament in the Eastern Conference would be the Atlanta Hawks with a 32-31 overall record. So that's how the playoffs look today. I kind of feel like the number one overall seeds are pretty much set on each side. I feel like it's going to be the Thunder and the Pistons. It's really going to take an epic collapse from the Thunder, but the Spurs are right on that ass. And like I said, the Spurs, they just look so damn good. It's really difficult to even pretend that they are not going to make some type of a run in the postseason. But we still have a month left to go. There's still a lot of basketball left to be played. But like I said, with Jason Tatum coming in, that could change the way that things look in the Eastern Conference. The Philadelphia 76ers in the Eastern Conference right now, they're starting to surge. I was just talking about the Charlotte Hornets. That's another team that could maybe fuck up somebody's day. And then you take a look at the Western Conference, the Lakers are the bottom of the barrel right now. And I keep saying, as a Lakers fan, I'm concerned with this team that they will not be able to keep up. Right now, their matchup in the first round would be against the Minnesota Timberwolves. No, I don't think they could beat the Timberwolves in a seven-game series. I actually would probably take the Timberwolves realistically. Now, of course, my fan side's going to be like, no, I'm taking the Lakers. But realistically, I think the Timberwolves would actually beat the Lakers, but there is a lot of basketball left to be played. So obviously these standings are going to be completely different at some point, but I kind of feel like number one overall seeds are probably going to remain just because they've been that way all season. And it really is going to take an epic collapse from both teams to lose those number one spots, but it can happen. All right. And speaking of basketball, it is almost March Madness time, y'all. As a matter of fact, technically, March Madness begins this weekend because now we have the conference championships coming up. All the kind of smaller conferences begin their conference championships over this weekend. And then next week is when all the big schools play their big tournaments. And we got all the big boys coming up. We're going to get all the automatic bids because, like I said, when I get back from Hawaii, we going to be talking March Madness. It's going to be bracket time, y'all. So what's coming up? with these conference championships. Let's go ahead and talk about what we got coming up here. There's one conference where I'm like, holy shit. Not only is who's going to win this one, but one of those teams could actually potentially just win it all. And when I mean one of those teams, I mean one of the four teams, because that's basically what I'm going to talk about. Since none of the matchups are set for the top tier conferences like the ACC, the Big East, Big 10, Big 12, and the SEC, since none of those matchups are set, I basically am going to be talking about the top four teams who I believe are going to be the top four seeds in each conference. So let's start off with the ACC. Their conference championship begins on Tuesday. The number one overall seed lies in this conference. That is Duke. They are 28-2 on the season. And I got to say, even though there's another team in here that could potentially shake things up, I feel like Duke is going to completely dominate this. It's going to take a lot to actually take down Duke just at all in March Madness, period. So in the ACC tournament, it looks like the top four seeds at right now would be Duke, Virginia, with a 26-4 record, Miami with a 24-6 record, and you in North Carolina with a 24-6 record. Both Virginia and Miami are also ranked in the AP top 25. As I said, Duke is number one overall, and Virginia could potentially maybe shake things up in this tournament, but I kind of feel like Duke is going to come out on top in this one. I don't really see any type of upset just because they're good in every way, shape, and form. There's a reason why they're ranked number one. And like I said, they're obviously a shoe-in for a national championship this year, other than something crazy happening. Obviously, there's a long way to go, but I feel like Duke is number one for a reason, and they only have two losses on the season. So I expect them to not only run through the ACC tournament, I won't be shocked if they run through the March Madness bracket as well. Then the Big East tournament, that starts on Wednesday. The top four teams in this tournament right now would be UConn. They are 27-3 on the season, and they're actually ranked number four overall in the country. St. John's is 24-6. They're also a ranked team. Villanova is 23-7. And Seton Hall is 20-10. So those are the top four teams right now in the conference. And it's looking like those are going to be the top four seeds in that conference tournament. I really look at, you know, Villanova and Seton Hall could potentially make noise, but I just kind of feel like UConn has been playing excellent basketball all season. They look like the UConn of old. And then St. John's is just always a team that when they are playing well, you can't sleep on them. But with that being said, I still think UConn's going to end up rolling through the Big East tournament and probably going to make a nice run in March Madness as well. Then the Big Ten Conference Tournament starts on Tuesday, and this actually has, of course, a couple of the Big House, the typical teams that we usually see. Michigan, they are 27-2. They're actually number three overall in the country. Michigan State is 24-5. They're also number eight overall in the country. So those are the usual suspects that we see. Right now, Nebraska is 25-5, and Illinois is 23-7. So right now, those would be the top four seeds in the Big Ten Tournament. But Michigan has just been playing some of the best basketball this season. They've been ranked top five all season long. But Michigan State, they are that squad that always just make noise. They are great in tournaments, and I actually would not be surprised if Michigan State were to actually make a run and actually end up winning the Big Ten tournament. But Michigan is going to be a really, really difficult team to get past. Then the SEC tournament, that starts on Wednesday. The top four seeds right now in the SEC tournament would be Florida at 24-6. They're actually the number five overall ranked team in the country. Alabama's 22-8. Arkansas's 22-8. And then Tennessee is 21-9. So those would be the top four in the SEC tournament. The SEC tournament, it's kind of like football, where I feel like they are going to beat each other up. But at the end of the day, Florida's been playing the best basketball in the SEC. And I just kind of feel like it's going to be shocking if Florida doesn't actually win the SEC tournament because they are good both offensively and defensively. And they're just a really overall good team. And then rounding out the conference tournaments, to me, this is the best one. And it's shocking to say it, but all the top four teams in this conference are all ranked in the top 10 of the AP top 25. So that just goes to show you how good this conference is. They're going to beat each other up in this conference tournament. And then I wouldn't be shocked if all four teams somehow ended up in the Final Four because they are all four that good. So we have the Big 12 tournament that starts on Tuesday. Arizona is 28-2 on the regular season and ranked number two on the season. Houston is 25-5, ranked number seven on the season. Texas Tech is 22-8, ranked number 10 on the season. And Iowa State is ranked 24-6 and ranked number six on the season. So all four teams are ranked in the top 10. All four teams have over 20 wins. All four teams have single-digit losses. And I look at all four teams as being really, really, really good. Of course, Arizona's the best of the four, but don't be shocked if these teams just beat up on each other. Texas Tech, they are so good. Iowa State, they are so good. And like I said, don't be shocked if somehow these teams, depending on the way the rankings work out and the brackets work out, if they all end up in different different brackets, there's the potential that if they're in four different brackets, I wouldn't be shocked to see all four of these teams in the Final Four because that is how good all four of them are. I mean, ranked number two, number six, number seven, and number 10. That is crazy. Four of the top 10 teams in basketball are in the Big 12. So the Big 12 tournament's the tournament to be watching because these teams are going to be beating up on each other. And those are only the top four teams. There's other good teams in the Big 12 as well. So I think that's going to be the most interesting conference tournament of all of them. But all the conference tournaments start this weekend, rolling through all the way through next week. And then, of course, Selection Sunday is next Sunday. So get ready because the madness is upon us, and I am so looking forward to it. But remember, there will be no shows next week because my ass will be in Hawaii. So aloha, bitches.